the Society for American Baseball Research, Sacramento chapter, the Dusty Baker chapter. You may recall earlier in the run of the show, I had my buddy Ken on from the Heartland chapter, I believe, Ken Fisher. I love the organization called Sabre. They're in no sport have regular fans, professionals, and historians all worked so hard together to have a huge impact on a single sport. It is the most American sport there is. And I'm joined now by Zach Ford, who heads up the, and I know it's a, that's probably, you'll probably be very humble about it, but you're the guy that actually has to, at the end of the day, you're going to get blamed for anything. But with Sabre's Dusty Baker Sacramento chapter, I had to talk you into coming on and talking baseball with me, but thanks for tuning in from your Sac area home.
Well, thank you very much for having me. It's a pleasure being here with you.
Zach, you know, I mentioned what's great about Sabre is, so let's put it in perspective. Many people know about Sabermetrics. Oh, they know about numbers and all of these stats that have become such an integral part of the game. But at the end of the day, people who love baseball, who grew up with it, that's just part of what Sabre has done. And you and I are the same in that the stories and the history and the men and women are the things that we love the most. I don't want to speak for you, but that was the one thing you said as chapter chair. There are plenty of guys that focus on, and that's part of the big picture of Sabre, but in chapters like yours, being able to tell the stories of Sacramento area players throughout history is what it's all about.
Absolutely. There's definitely a role for stats and sabermetrics, and there are opportunities for folks to get involved through Sabre, if that's one of their primary interests. However, most baseball fans, myself included, are more interested in the human side, the human interest stories that make baseball so great. And there are many more opportunities for those fans as well.
And we're able to find a lot of those. I mean, that's the one thing that, of course, the internet has done, but someone still has to get it out there. And that is one thing that has just amazed me about Sabre. For example, and I want to talk a little bit more about some of the projects and some of the research that you personally are interested in away from Sabre. I know you're working on a book that probably you're saying it's too early to talk about, but those kinds of stories. But if you just look at the Sabre website, and this is for baseball fans, you will find research that dates, far before the Negro Leagues, but also includes various levels of the game. It's not just the major leagues, and that's where a lot of those stories come from, you know, those guys on a sandlot somewhere in the past who are part of history, and those are the ones that I love. I know you've got to have some favorites.
Absolutely. There's opportunities for people who are interested in all levels of the game, whether it be minor leagues, professional, foreign leagues, opportunity for everybody to get involved and share their knowledge and just be active Sabre members and participate.
So, for example, you guys have coming up a week from Saturday or this 22nd?
It's Saturday the 22nd.
Okay, and it's still the 22nd. I know we talked a little bit about that. You're working with the Lefty O'Doul San Francisco Bay chapter. And you're going to have
correct.
A luncheon, and it sounds like a blast. And that's open to the public if you know, I'm guessing you have to pay an entry ticket or something like that. But tell me about that.
So what we're going to have is, technically we have a National Sabre Day every January 25th, just based on the way the schedule worked for the Lefty O'Doul chapter chair and myself. We weren't able to meet on January 25th. The first meeting of the year, we try and have a joint chapter meeting in Northern California, the two chapters. Didn't work out on January 25th, but we have one planned for February 22nd at Club Pheasant in West Sacramento at 11:30. And we have an exciting agenda. I'm looking forward to it. We have John Leonidakis, who put together Sweet Spot series. If you have Amazon Prime Video, you're able to find his videos on that. We have Mari-Pai Gonzalez, who is the Spanish broadcaster for the Oakland Athletics, who is also a board member for the Hispanic Heritage Baseball Hall of Fame. We have Dan Brown from the Athletic.
Oh, wow.
We also have Marshall Garvey, who just recently put together a book on Sacramento baseball. So it's going to be a great event, and we're excited, and we're looking forward to it. And like you said, it is open to the public. Definitely would love to have people RSVP to me first, and they're able to do that just through my email, just zakford@gmail.com. This is zachford@gmail.com. And definitely the more the merrier.
And they can go to Facebook. I mean, you know, it's mm-hmm. that also has obviously a whole nother story, changed our world. But what I love, for example, while you're talking, you know, doing that multitasking thing, and again, these aren't necessarily things that you've done, but I'm sure they're things that draw you to it. I really particularly like, for example, the research sections, you know, that Sabre does,
mm-hmm.
those biography projects and archives and oral history. We talk a little bit about, I want to talk about oral history with you in a minute, but you know, I just typed in Shasta County and immediately we know about Bill Plummer. I've told you we had Bill on the show. And then it's got stories about guys like Lefty Gomez, who back in the day people might remember that he barnstormed, you know, where he pitched all throughout. He tried out for the Seals. So many of those guys, if you were a West Coast guy, you just played wherever, just like in the Midwest. They played everywhere, all over. And you just couldn't find stories without Googling wildly just about baseball and those individual projects. I have no idea how many guys have been working on this for how long, but you know, Sabre is that kind of thing really impresses me.
Yeah, it's a great organization. There are many different resources and many different ways to get involved. And, you know, there is opportunity, too, to adopt players, per se.
Oh, cool.
There's an oral history project. There's bio project where you essentially adopt a player, and they give you a particular format to follow for writing their biography, and you're able to publish there on the website and become a published writer that way.
That's fantastic. That's fantastic, because I know that there's so many. Obvious that it is, as I mentioned, it is the American sport, and I'm glad that it's a world sport now. I love it. I like the international tournament coming up in spring training and all that, but nothing connects thread. That's what I love about baseball most, is the thread that it connects us all. And to be able to pull all this information together and put it in one place, Sabre's been something special. Now, I don't want to sit here and just pound on Sabre's back. Listen, you and I, we love baseball, right? We love baseball.
Absolutely.
And you've gone into you would have been a sports writer if you could, but you had to go into the real world. I was a sportscaster, and I probably am back in the real world. So either way, baseball brings us together at this point. And for you, you know, you can really focus on the labor of love part of it. You've met some guys that have really been. Tell me some of the guys through Sabre or through your interest in baseball that have really made being a part of this fun.
Well, as you made reference to earlier, I wanted to get into sports journalism. And in the early to mid-90s, when I went off to, you know, college, and, you know, there was a new thing called the Internet, when you kind of saw the writing on the wall that the jobs would be few and far between. And as I mentioned in our prior conversation, I was really focused on baseball. Mm-hmm. I kind of had tunnel vision.
Yeah.
So I knew that those jobs were going to be few and far between, and eventually had to, you know, make a living per se, and decided to go, you know, do a different career path. And it's kind of come full circle, though, because I've reached the point now in my early 40s that my kids are old enough. They're a little bit more independent. You know, I have, you know, a fairly stable career, and wife has a fairly stable career, so I've been able to kind of revisit the interest that I had earlier on in baseball and do it a little bit more comfortably than I would have if I had pursued that route initially. But, you know, some of the interests that I had earlier on are more of the historical side of baseball, getting to know a lot of the old players. My great uncle, you had made reference to, you know, Lefty Gomez and the Seals. My great uncle, Larry Powell, actually played in the old Pacific Coast League and for the Seals. And when I was a teenager and young adult, I would attend the old Pacific Coast League reunions with him. And as a result, I grew a lot of friendships with a lot of his old teammates, a lot of his old opponents, and, you know, captured their stories. I'd follow up with them by phone, interview them, and I had a little newsletter where I would share their stories. And a lot of these guys, at the time, they're, you know, 80 years old. This was, you know, 25 years ago, and unfortunately, a lot of those guys are no longer with us, but their stories live on.
Zach, I want you to tell me some of those stories. I finally got you. I got to what we wanted to talk about, but I have to take a break. Somebody's got to get paid. I'm not, you know, you and I mean, I got nothing for you, but we're going to take a break. Please stay with us. Is that okay if you stick around for a little bit?
I will stick around as long as you need me to.
No, Zach, thank you so much. I love these stories, and I think our listeners who have come to listen to my show know that this is the kind of stuff they're going to get. So, Zach, we're going to talk back. We're going to talk about some of those guys in the Old Pacific Coast League that you are passing on, passing down some of those stories. When we come back on Scorecard Scribbling, stay with us.
Of the drop, welcome to my podcast. Do you like water? If you do, you're going to love me. I'm pure and simple. I'm talking refreshing. Yeah. Spent 500 years in a glacier. The boy was that cold. I never was and never will be tap water. Nope. Bottled at the source, the base of Mount Shasta. Yep, pure and simple. Naturally the best. You can try me by calling 1-800-922-6227. Mount Shasta Spring Water.
Hi, I'm Chuck Kenny with Shasta Gas Propane and Shasta Tanks. Many people may not know that we started a propane tank refurbishing business about 5 years ago. We pick up tanks from various propane companies, bring them to our yard in Anderson, where we blast the old paint and rust off, repaint them with a very durable paint, and then install new valves. The tank is just like a new tank. We primarily sell these tanks in truckloads of 45 to other propane companies. I'm telling you about our new business because many of you are installing generators because of the probability of the power being shut off this summer. Shasta Gas Propane now sells standby generators and propane tanks so that you won't be left without power. Give us a call at 365-3793 so we can come to your house and give you a quote on a generator and tank. Again, that's 365-3793.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004, but our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
Hey, Evelyn, can I ask you a question? You got a moment?
Mm-hmm. Which team do you play for?
Well, I'm a Peach.
Well, I was just wondering, because I couldn't figure out why you would throw home when we've got a two-run lead. You let the tying run get on second, and we lost the lead because of you. Now you start using your head. Are you crying?
No.
Are you crying? Oh. Are you crying? There's no crying. There's no crying in baseball.
One of the great words. You hope that was actually spoken in real life. Joined on tonight's show, Scorecard Scribblings, I'm Brent Weber. Zach Ford, who's the chapter chair of the Dusty Baker Sacramento chapter of Sabre, formed in 94, this chapter renamed to honor. He's a favorite of mine, Dusty Baker, longtime manager, current manager of the Houston Astros, and a great player, great guy. Thanks for sticking around, Zach. Right away, I don't know if you had a chance you were going to reach out to Dusty, but then Dusty got busy. He's not going to be able to join you for the gathering next week.
Yeah, we sent an invite to him for the November meeting, and he got back to us saying, hey, you know, I'm sorry I'm not able to make it. I had a soft opening for the family wine company that he's putting together on that same day in November. But, you know, I'm going to try and make the next one. And, you know, obviously the next one's scheduled for February 22nd. And I have to say, I'm happy he's not going to be able to make it, and he's in uniform is the reason.
Yeah, that is so much fun. Let's get back to where we were. We're talking about Saber, and actually your personal love for storytelling has come from getting to know your uncle?
My great-uncle, yeah.
Great-uncle Larry Powell, and then you actually did your own newsletter for the old Pacific Coast League stories, and man, oh man, there's got to be some great ones in there.
Absolutely. When I started doing this, I was actually about 13, 14 years old.
Wow.
And I would hop on the public transportation, hop on the buses, and figure out my way to players' houses, interview them in person. The first player, I'm not really counting my uncle as an interview just because he was, you know, my uncle,
right,
per se, and we'd have more casual conversations informally. But the first player I actually interviewed was a guy by the name of Tony Freitas. Started his career in 1928, went through the mid-50s, so pretty long career. He spent about 5 years in the major leagues in the early to mid-30s. When I show up at his house, you know, he opens up the door, you know, tells me who he is, and the whole time I'm building up, you know, to, you know, say hi to him, and I'm going on the bus, I'm thinking about, you know, how I introduce myself, I'm thinking, oh my gosh, you know, his time in the major leagues overlaps that of Babe Ruth.
Wow.
And he was a pitcher, and he opens the door, introduces himself, I introduce myself, and I just blurt out, did you pitch to Babe Ruth? I sure did. I said, did he hit one off you? He absolutely did. And we just shared a laugh. He went in, you know, we went into his house, and he shared stories with me for the next few hours. But, you know, obviously those first-person accounts are no longer available now. And,
yeah,
and I was very fit opportunity when I was a youngster.
The Called Up Project, I know that's going to be kind of a, I want to say it's going to be your labor of love. It's already something you started. I know it's something that you will continue to work on. And, you know, you have to tell me what the genesis of that. Obviously, it came from talking to some of these guys about when they started their career. But that's fun because you've got some of those stories on Facebook, too, to hear about.
Yeah. So I kind of figured that other than maybe being on the mound for the last out of a World Series or hitting a walk-off for your team to win the World Series, probably the highlights of a ball player's career, something that, you know, every person that's ever picked up a ball and glove has thought about is getting called up to the major leagues and making their major league debut. So I started thinking about, you know, how is it that I capture these stories? So what I've been doing is I've been talking to former, and actually there's a few active major leaguers as well, former players and active ones, I said, about their call-up experience.
Mm-hmm.
And their major league debuts. And all eras, all major league experience links. And it's been something I've been working on for the last 3 months. The goal is to have over 100 interviews by the end of this year.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm around 75 so far. I'm piecing together the interviews into first-person player narratives. And at the end of the year, I'll put together a book manuscript and see what publisher wants to pick it up.
That sounds great, and it sounds like one you're going to – it's, I would imagine once you got started, knowing the old-timers, and, well, we can record things now. We can talk on the phone, which is, you know, which is a blessing. It'd be great if you had Ken Burns' budget and you could, you know, fly with a crew. But truth be told, you know, whatever it takes, and that this has to just exponentially be taken off because I know how the old guys are. Even the guys that are coaches, you know, they love to tell stories like that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, and you know, it's kind of interesting the mix of players I've been talking to. I've been talking to players who made their debuts in the 60s,
mm-hmm.
all the way up until just a couple of years ago. The excitement level is still there when they share that story of finding out that they finally reached their boyhood dream of becoming a major leaguer. It's been fun. It's been fun, and, you know, there's just today I was talking to a former major league ball player who was sharing his story of making the team out of spring training, and just, you know, reliving that story, he started crying. You know, it was something that emotional for him, and you know, I've witnessed that a few times. It's kind of the culmination of everything everybody's, you know, hoped for as far as a baseball player, and it's that moment when it becomes a reality for him.
Now, you grew up in the Bay Area, or you grew up in Sac, or?
I grew up in the Sacramento area.
Okay, obviously, big fan of that ballpark. How is the baseball, the community of Sacramento, do they like the proximity to the big league club and that? I think that's good for baseball and good for teams. It's tough because you're renting a player here and there for a day or two, but, you know, being so close, seeing guys go up to the big leagues just like that the next day quite often has got to be fun for the fans.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's been nice having the Rivercats. Obviously, initially, they were the affiliate of the Oakland A's,
mm-hmm.
but then obviously now they're the affiliate of the San Francisco Giants. But both major league teams are close.
Mm-hmm.
So you're able to see these players at a minor league level and then drive a couple hours and see them at the big league level.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really worked out well. It's a really enjoyable place to watch a ball game, and you get that, you know, fairly close proximity to the Major League Stadium when everything kind of comes together for them.
And they had some great teams there over the years. I remember Tony DeFrancesco, wasn't he a manager there? And I think he went to Oklahoma City and won championships. He's been talked about recently as he was, I think, up for the Red Sox job. But, you know, there have been some great teams. Last year they had a great team.
Absolutely. Yes, they did. They started off real strong, too. I mean, one of the guys that added a lot of excitement that first inaugural season, 2000, was Jose Ortiz,
mm-hmm.
Big prospect for the A's at the time, and he ended up winning the Pacific Coast League MVP that year. Just very first year the team had played in Sacramento, and I was fortunate to talk to him just last week as well about his call-up experience in the 2000 season, being in Sacramento, and it's fun. It's fun talking to these ball players, especially when it's you know, there's a little bit of a local connection.
All right, I'm gonna make, now that I've got you, I've got my hooks in you, I'm gonna take another break and we'll get another segment out of you, because I want you to dust off a couple old Pacific Coast League stories you got. You got to have a couple of those from those guys. So think quickly. Think during the break. Give me a couple good
All
ones,
right.
And don't kid yourself. Fans up here. You know, they know those names, and a lot of folks, of course, move up here from the Bay Area. But when we come back, Zach Ford's going to give us a little bit more of his old Pacific League stories. He's the Called Up Project. He's also the chair of the Sabre Dusty Baker chapter in Sacramento. And you're listening to Scorecard Scribblings. Back with Zach Ford in a minute.
The Redding Civic Auditorium brings a wide variety of shows to the North State. Go to reddingcivic.com and join their mailing list for free. Get early access to tickets and first dibs on the best seats in the house. Grab a drink with friends at the fully stocked bar or locally roasted coffee. Snacks and other beverages at the River Rock Cafe. Enjoy lidded beverages throughout the auditorium at every show. If you want to know about the best concerts coming to the North State, go to reddingcivic.com to learn more. Orchard Nutrition Center asks, what does it mean to be local?
It's a Little League baseball team. It's a smile and a wave from a neighbor you've known for years, helping out a stranger just because it's the right thing to do.
It's a lot like Orchard Nutrition Center, caring about the people and the community that you call home.
Orchard Nutrition Center, since 1982.
We're all in it together. Redding Electric Utility cares about the whole community, and we offer an income-qualified residential energy discount program that can save you up to $400 a year on your energy bill. And once per year, CARES bill credit up to $300. To find out if your income qualifies you for a residential discount program and CARES program, call 339-7200. That number again is 339-7200. What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Gemine program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts, Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
You're listening to a previously recorded edition of Scorecard Scribblings with Brent Weber. Brent will be back next week.
Teach me something new, man. I need to learn. Teach me something.
Well, you got something to write with? Good. It's time to work on your interviews.
My interviews? What do I got to do?
You're going to have to learn your cliches. You're going to have to study them. You're going to have to know them. They're your friends. Write this down. We got to play them one day at a time.
Got to play. It's pretty boring.
Of course it's boring. That's the point. Write it down.
One day at a time.
All right. I'm just happy to be here. Hope I can help the ball club. I know. Write it down. I just want to give it my best shot. And the good Lord willing, things will work out.
Good. Lord willing.
Things will work out. Yep.
I tell you what, Bull Durham, another baseball classic. It's that time, folks. Teams are starting to show up at spring training. Yes, since it's not official, pitchers and catchers showing up. Astros are able to keep the media out today, but that's just part of the game. Going a long year, we've talked about the sign stealing electronic thing, so we don't have to talk about that tonight. Tonight we're talking to Zach Ford, who is the chair of the Sacramento Area Sabre Chapter, Society for American Baseball Research, and coming up on the 22nd of February in the Sacramento area at 11:30, along with the Lefty O'Doul San Francisco Bay Chapter. They're going to be having a luncheon at Club Pheasant, and it is open to the public. You do need to go on the Facebook page for Sabres Chapter, Dusty Baker Chapter, and try to let my guests today know that you're coming. That'd be great. But what's the cost? Is there a cost, individual cost on that? Do you know?
Well, you keep it affordable. It's $20.
Right.
That comes with full meal and a beverage, and obviously our entertainment.
I was going to say. Speakers. Some fun speakers before we went to break, and those who just joined us, Zach's history through his family, through the love of baseball, he's done an awful lot of research with some of the older players, specifically in the old Pacific Coast League. In fact, you can find some of those old stories, I noticed on Facebook, Zach, about some of those PCL Historical Society interviews that you've done. I made you promise to give me a couple of some names of some classics that you've learned along the way.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, one of the first things that pops into my head is, I had referenced earlier that for the local Sacramento folks, I take public transportation over the house.
Mm-hmm.
But before I had my driver's license, my dad would actually drive me out to interviews, and we visited folks throughout Northern California. And one of the most memorable trips that my dad and I made was down to Stockton. And on this particular day, I think I had my driver's permit. I don't think I had my license at the time. So I drove one way. My dad drove the other. And, you're a 15, 16-year-old boy, and your relationship with your father isn't necessarily like it is maybe now, and we have a great relationship. But it was a complete bonding experience for my dad and I, and we still laugh about these, trips you know, 25 years plus later. But we went down to Stockton, and we met with Frank Corsetti and Bud Watkins. Now, Frank Corsetti was a longtime Yankee shortstop and coach. And he told us about his, you know, some of the great Yankee moments. Talked to him about, you know, Babe Ruth's called shot, which he said was not a called shot. But after he tells my dad and I the story about the 1932 World Series, he says, "Give me a second. I'm going to go in the other room." He leaves us in his, you know, baseball room, and it has signed pictures of Babe Ruth, old panoramic photos from the Yankees. So he leaves us in there, and we're just like in awe, right? And he comes back a couple minutes later, and he's holding a couple of rings. He says, "Here you go. I wanted you to see this. This is 1932 World Series ring."
Wow.
He let me actually slip it onto my finger. And I really wish, you know, it was, you know, there are cameras like there are now where you can, you know, snap a million different photos on your iPhone and make sure you get the perfect one. Because it didn't work when my dad snapped a, you know, photo of me wearing it. But that was just a huge thrill. And probably at least once every year or two, my dad and I will bring that up and go, "Wow, that was a real cool experience."
Much fun.
So met with Corsetti, then went, you know, drove across town in Stockton to Bud Watkins' place. Now, Bud Watkins never pitched in the major leagues, but he was an awesome storyteller and very welcoming guy. Anybody that is involved in the old Pacific Coast League is probably familiar with him, old Sacramento Solons pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one of the thrills that Bud Watkins told us about, and keep in mind, in the old Pacific Coast League, a lot of players from the major leagues would also come back down and pitch in the Coast League years after their time in the major leagues were done. Some would actually even prefer to play in the Coast League because of the money, the weather, the schedule, all that. So Watkins, 1952, he joins the Sacramento Solons in Los Angeles when they're on that trip. Now, to rewind a little bit, one of Watkins' heroes when he was a kid, this old pitcher by the name of Orville Grove.
Mm-hmm.
So he grew up watching Orville Grove pitch. So 1952, he joins the Solons when they're on their road trip in Los Angeles. Checks in the hotel. They tell him where to go. He'll meet his roommate upstairs. He says he walks into his room, and of all people in the world, guess who his roommate is? Orville Grove. He said he used to have a scrapbook of Orville Grove. He had, you know, would listen to the games as a kid. And he said he didn't even sleep that night. He just sat there on his bed staring at his roommate, who was his hero when he was a kid.
Wow.
But those types of stories, you know, the human interest side is what captivates me more than anything else.
Oh, yeah. And you can just scan through Zach's Facebook page, and you can see some of the interviews that you've already done. Some of my favorite, very, very guys like Jerry Royce, who, man, he's gotten out there in the embraced the storytelling and social media, sharing photos and things. He's quite a photographer. I noticed there that you sat down and talked to him and some other guys and guys of my career. I remember Greg Nettles was one of the great players of a decade and a half, but people don't realize how good that guy was unless they were, what, a Padres fan late in his career. But he was a great player for a long time. He's another guy that you've talked to not that long ago.
Absolutely. I just talked to him recently. And, you know, my project's focused on that initial call-up and that Major League debut. So a lot of people don't know that he started off with the Twins.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he was a late call-up in 1967, made his debut with the Twins. And at the time, there was a four-team pennant race for the American League Championship that year. And he kind of knew what his role was going to be. He wasn't going to get much playing time. And he said, you know, more than anything else, you know, that's fine with me if I don't get very much playing time. I don't want to screw things up for this guy, you know, for the team. But he gets three at-bats that entire month. But, you know, the first at-bat, he said he swung at the very first pitch against Louis Tiot of the Indians.
Mm-hmm.
And flew out. But he got that call-up. He got that Major League debut out of the way. The rest is history.
And let's bring it back. Let's bring it to the modern times. What was the I noticed that you went to Fan Fest for the Giants. You're a fan. We're all, you know, that's the nice thing about being able to go to those things and not doing them, covering them, quote unquote. You go to Fan Fest and you get a feel for it because, you know, everybody else just keeps loading up players. How were the fans and the guys that you saw down there?
Oh, it was a blast. And it was something I decided to do last minute. And I realized, hey, it's Saturday morning. I don't have plans today. I'm going to make a drive. So I went there. And, you know, I do these things from time to time. And I'm just, you know, a self-described baseball nerd. So I actually went down there just by myself. Ultimately, I ended up meeting a buddy there. It's just, you know, fun to, you know, be in those rooms where there's Q&A with the players, hear stories, kind of walk around on the field, walk through the clubhouse, and to just get kind of excited and pumped up for the upcoming season.
Well, I think one thing the fans wondering if they could throw us a bone somewhere or throw their fans a bone somewhere, they looked like they signed to Hunter Pence this week.
I am really excited about that. One of my favorite all-time players. I mean, obviously now his role is going to be much different than it was, you know, 5, 6, 7 years ago. But I think that veteran presence, the excitement he brings as a, you know, fourth or fifth outfielder and pinch hitter, and his presence in the clubhouse is going to be very important.
Yeah, I mean, here's a guy who went to Texas and comeback player of the year at age 38, I think. Last year. So, that's everybody loves. They need that enthusiasm. They're going to have so many young kids. And we have a connection up here because of Bill Plummer, who I mentioned, because we do the Colt 45s games. His grandson, Connor Menez, you know, is one of those guys that is hoping to get a shot. He was a big part of that Sacramento team last year. And, you know, there's going to be some good arms that are going to come out of this. They've loaded up some mid-20s ages arms as well to try to see if they can get a staff together to go with the old guys. But guys like Connor Menez are pretty excited to see go over there.
Absolutely. It's definitely a rebuild, but the Giants have some good prospects. And another few years, I think they could be right back on top.
Zach Ford is my guest. He is the chair of the Dusty Baker Sacramento chapter of SABRE, Society for American Baseball Research, and they've got an event coming up that is open to fans down in the Sacramento area, and it's a lot of fun. You can learn more by going to their Facebook page. Just type in SABRE, Dusty Baker, Sacramento, any of those, and it'll come up. And he's given us his email. It's the ZachFord@gmail.com. Is that the one you want to send out?
Yeah, but remember, my name is spelled funny.
That's right.
For some reason, my parents decided to spell Zach, Z-A-K, so it's ZAKFORD@gmail.com.
If you're interested in going to that, or you just, Rick Bassetti, if you're listening, I know your call-up story is good. So if so, you need to get in touch with Zach. One of our other area fans. Hey, we're going to do it again. I'm going to try my best to get down there on that Saturday, Zach Ford, and as we get into the season, let's do this again, and keep having some fun around what SABRE does, what you're doing, and just telling those baseball stories.
Thanks a bunch. I appreciate it.
All right, Zach Ford, our guest. We're going to let him go. When we come back, Dusty Baker, not the only longtime Bay Area player, fan, coach, whatever, in the news. We'll tell you about Ricky Henderson in the news today. I don't know what took him so long. We'll get that, and we'll get you some updates on some local ball clubs, how they're doing collegiately. This is Scorecard Scribblings. I'm your host, Brent Weber. We'll be here for another 13 minutes or so.
was on the table.
This is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Alan Gordon here, Coastmaster Collision. In our 50 years in business, we've met many interesting people. One customer complained the car pulled hard to the right. When I inspected the car, I noticed a small bag of rocks tied to the left side of her steering wheel. The customer stated that on long trips, the rocks would counteract the pull. Problem solved. Only temporarily, though. The pull was easily repaired with suspension adjustments and a wheel alignment, despite being told by another shop the vehicle had major frame problems. Having confidence and trust in the professionalism of who is repairing your vehicle is sometimes the greatest struggle. When this customer has a problem with a car, she calls Coachmaster. If the issue isn't our specialty, I'm glad to recommend the best qualified company. After all, this is my customer. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Remember Coachmaster on Eastside Road, serving the Reading community since 1969. Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Wild Thing! You make my heart sing! You walk everything!
Ah, yeah, they loved Wild Thing! He was the... One great thing about the baseball movie Major League is there were a lot of ball players in that movie, guys that could play. And you probably know by now Charlie Sheen was a good young player when he was a player. A lot of those guys, so they didn't look silly, you know, playing baseball. And then there were tons of guys like Steve Yeager, and you know, all the background guys were big leaguers or guys or coaches or whatever, so they'd look good, you know. It was a great baseball movie. A little hokey. Hey, Zach Ford joined us. That was a lot of fun. We'll try to get that up on Scorecard Scribblings. It's going to be fun to see that book that he's got, these guys telling the stories of their call-ups. It's a great idea, and I haven't heard of a book like that. So looking forward to learning more about that. Believe it or not, it is hockey season. Now they know that up in Mount Shasta. People who go up to the rink up there and get up there early and they play hockey. But, you know, and we've got San Jose Sharks and they air on one of the other stations in town. I love hockey. I wish we had a minor league hockey team here in town because I'd go watch them just because I love – it's one of those sports like baseball, the smell of the grass, the popcorn, whatever. Hockey's that way in that you feel the ice and the reverberation when you go into the rink. Little bit of a love-hate relationship with it during my career, which brings us to the Wayback Machine. That's my trick for you there. I'm tricking you, Jared. Because it was back on – I tried to time it better, but I didn't. January 11th, 1995. Wow. 25 years ago. When a historic lockout came to an end, it was the second work stoppage in 3 years for the National Hockey League. They did have a huge one after that that wiped out a season that honestly changed that sport. They've had some contraction and growth. But at that time, they were still trying to consider themselves an American sport only. And the European players, the great ones, were just starting to, fill out rosters and become the big, huge thing. But in Los Angeles, the Kings, you know, they had some guy named Gretzky's impact was still there. And I covered the Kings and the Ducks when I was with CNN Sports. And it was as close as I ever came to an athlete punching me in the face was at the first workout. This thing's making weird noises, isn't it? No, I'm the only one hearing it? Okay. Stop making those noises. It's my headphones. But anyway, the first workout after that lockout, it was a lockout. It was not a strike. As Marty McSorley, who's one of the biggest, toughest, meanest guys in hockey, he was a good player, so he wasn't just a goon, but he could put your lights out. Anyway, when they opened that locker room after the first practice, and I worked with CNN, and in those days, you got to understand, there would only be two or three crews. I mean, even in L.A., I mean, there wasn't 25 guys, 50 guys or gals at everything. I mean, it was us, and heck, I don't even know if ESPN was there at that time. But I can remember going in there with my producer, Ron Forsheimer, and quite literally, Marty was right there, and you just go up to him. You know, we've interviewed him before. We didn't talk to any of those guys during the lockout. And he launched on me and said things about how we covered you guys calling it an effing strike, and we didn't, and it wasn't us, and you guys all blamed the player. You guys. And I'm like, hey, did you hear me ever say anything blaming the players for hockey? Because I had never done it. CNN news was news sports, sports news. You know, we didn't have as much commentary as they have now. But anyway, Gretzky was one of the guys to keep him from punching my lights out. Because I was just the first guy he saw that had a mic in his hand and pretty hair. So he knew I was he probably didn't even know me, who I worked for. So that story, I'm still getting a little rattled thinking about it because it could have changed the whole arc of my life. I did not want to be punched by Marty McSorley, nor do I now wish I had been punched by Marty McSorley. Let's be clear about that. But let's do the Wayback Machine to that work stoppage back in 1995.
The NHL season starts Friday night, 2.5 months late, but better late than never. On the subject of time, though, it's something the great Wayne Gretzky is running short of in his quest to help Los Angeles win a Stanley Cup. CNN's Brett Weber has details on whether this will be a royal season for the Kings.
4 to 5 times a week, the jerseys were turned inside out of their work. But now that the lockout is over, the Kings agree those workouts made a tight-knit team even tighter.
Unfortunately, sometimes when you're professionals, you end up doing your own thing away from the rink. And this labor work stoppage has done nothing but to bring us together.
Before the lockout, the Kings and every other NHL team got in a complete exhibition schedule, but those games are long forgotten. These guys have little choice but to be ready to skate at full tilt with benefit of just 2 intra-squad scrimmages.
You go to training camp, you have 9-10 games to get in shape, game ready. And then you have, half a season to kind of get things going and prepare for the playoffs. Now that's all gone. It's basically thrown right into the fire and away we go.
In addition to workouts at their practice rink, 7 Kings skated with Wayne Gretzky's exhibition tour of Europe during the lockout, adding to their physical readiness. But perhaps even more important is being mentally prepared to cram 48 games into less than 4 months.
We all grew up as kids and played weekends. We had played in these tournaments Monday through Sunday and, you know, play 7 games and then quarterfinals, semifinals, finals, and that's kind of what this is, 48 games. Yeah, every game is very important. You got to get off to a good start. If you get off to a 2-8 start, you might as well just pack up and go home.
A fast start may be in the Kings' future with 7 of their first 8 games at home. From Los Angeles, Brent Weber, CNN Sports.
Introduced on that by the late, great Nick Charles. You may remember that just a great voice and a great reader and just a wonderful man, died a few years ago. But one of my mentors. But interesting thing, they had a terrible year. And 1 year later, they traded Wayne Gretzky, which who knew, that season that we're talking about there, they fired Barry Melrose late in that season. They were under 500. They stunk. And then the next year they stunk. And so they traded Gretzky, and it was a few years before the Kings were good again, which my dear friend Jeannie Buss and those folks who were involved with that team, I mean, that was hard times for them because when Gretz got there, boy, that was the center of the hockey universe for a little while. And, yeah. But anyway, that was fun. Those were good days. Didn't get my nose broken. Always good. So what else is going on before we run out of time? We got a little bit. I mentioned that Ricky Henderson's in the news. Check this out. I don't know why it took so long, but he will be enshrined in the Bay Area Sports Hall of Fame in 2020. It was announced at a press conference today. The Baseball Hall of Famer and Oakland A's legend and hometown hero played 25 years and 14 of those with the A's. Greatest base stealer of all time, run scorer, and all that kind of good stuff. Also already in the Athletics Hall of Fame. So he goes in along with Bruce Bochy, Natalie Coughlin, Paul Kayard, and Bryant Young, former 49er, also a really good guy. And they're going to have that banquet coming up in May, May 11th. All right, other things that we got going on, Simpson men's basketball, they begin their tournament on the 29th down in Lancaster. 6-4 in league play right now. Not sure how it's going to wind up. They're going to have to go down there and win that thing. They know that. They're at Merced tomorrow, then back home on Saturday. Baseball doing better. Gabe Rojas got a nice win for Simpson's Redhawks. And we're getting some baseball weather. They beat a formerly ranked team, a good, tough NAI opponent in Jessup, 10-4 yesterday. Also got a homer from Chris Brew in that one to open up the game. It was a tie game, I think, in his two-run homer opened it up. Softball, the ladies have had a streaky season so far. They have two games at home on Saturday, four tight games and losses. They could easily be 6-2 or 8-2, but they're 4-6 right now. Again, a good-looking softball season for the Simpson ladies, and that's kind of keeping you up to date on all that that's happening. And I got a couple other things. Giants signed Wilmer Flores to a 2-year deal. You may not have seen that. That happened today. So Flores, a guy can play across the infield. So they're making some late mid-level moves as teams begin to show up for practice. I can just, I can just kind of keep talking, but I don't want to do that. Coming up in the next couple of weeks, we will try to look at baseball's proposed rule changes. How are we doing? We're down inside a minute? Ready to go? Some more rule changes that they're looking at, or not rule changes, but expanding the playoffs. That makes me crazy, crazy, crazy. All right, well, I want to thank everybody for joining us tonight. My producer, Jared King, Zach Ford from the Dusty Baker Sabre chapter. Thanks for joining us and talking baseball. I'm Brent Weber. This is Scorecard Scribblings. Visit me online, scorecardscribblings.com or weber-creative.com.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.